You're listening to the Tongue Tie Experts Podcast, a weekly program providing information and support for those families impacted by tongue and lip tie and the professionals caring for them. I'm Lisa Palladino, a midwife and a lactation consultant with over 30 years of experience. If you are a parent looking for answers or a professional who is curious to learn more than what you learned in school on this topic, welcome. This podcast is for you. A gentle disclaimer. Please do not consider anything discussed on this podcast by myself or any guest of the podcast to be medical advice. The information is provided for educational purposes only and does not take the place of your own medical or lactation provider. Thank you. Welcome back to the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. I am your host, Lisa Palladino, and this week you'll be listening to a live recording I did on an Instagram Live a few weeks ago all about what can go wrong with tongue tie treatment, or as I like to say, what keeps a lactation consultant awake at night. But honestly, as far as keeping me up at night, that doesn't really happen. I have no trouble sleeping because I know that the families in my care are offered treatment based on my knowledge, research, experience. And when they follow my care plan and use providers that I know to be expert, experienced, and skillful, the families in my care have the results that they're looking for. But it is time to get real and share what can go wrong with tongue tie treatment. Let's just back up a little bit and think about what should the result of tongue tie treatment be. It's functional use of the tongue. In infants, that means the ability to efficiently and comfortably breastfeed or bottle feed. And always remember that tongue tie is a functional diagnosis. It's not just what it looks like. You've heard me say this a million times if you've listened to me ever. It's what it can do. So for a baby, the function is feeding. For older kids, it's speech and breathing. But let's stick with the infant for this chat. As with any treatment or procedure, there are always risks and things that can go wrong. This goes without saying that whenever we intervene in any way, there can be complications. The goal of my practice and for the entire Tongue Tie Experts platform is education to mitigate the possible complications. But nothing is ever zero risk. If you are told that there is no risk, run the other way, because the provider who is telling you this isn't being honest. I wouldn't trust them with my baby. In this discussion, I'll share what I've seen go wrong, but I won't dive very deeply into how to decrease the risk. Although some of that may be obvious as you listen, you'll find deeper discussions in previous episodes of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. If you are a professional, special note to the professionals who listen, if you release tongue ties, whatever tool you use, please hear this as advice on what not to do. Please educate yourself, your staff, and your patients. This is not a quick snip. This is a procedure that affects a newborn, its ability to feed, and the family of this newborn. It is to be respected and approached with a holistic view in order to get the best outcomes. And remember, the outcome is not removal of the frenum. The outcome is successful feeding. So this is where any, you know, surgery, usually the surgical outcome that we're usually looking for is removal of the part or changing the part, right? Revising the thing. So if you're having an appendix problem, removal of the appendix is a successful appendix surgery, right? If you are I don't know, if you have a mole on your face, removing the mole in an aesthetically pleasing way gives you a successful result. Removing the frenum is not the result we're looking for. We're looking for successful function, successful feeding, successful speech. So we have to be really careful not to approach this in a way of typical surgical procedure. This is unique. Right? Maybe orthopedic surgery is similar, but it still is a little bit unique in its goals. Have you ever wished you could help that mom who is questioning if she has enough milk? Ever wanted to either reassure her or know when to refer? As a lactation consultant, I created the program Understanding Milk Supply for medical and birth professionals to help you to feel more confident in those exact situations. This affordable, recorded video mini course is open to anyone who works with pregnant or breastfeeding families. It's a particularly valuable opportunity if you're an SLP or an OT who wants to gain an understanding of how breast milk is made, or a dentist in the field who is often the first line provider for tongue tie treatment. The function of the infant at the breast depends on milk supply. Even if care of the mom isn't in your scope, there are basic principles that you can learn that may rescue a family's feeding goals. In Understanding Milk Supply, I teach you what red flags to look for, when to refer, who to refer to, and how to advise the family in the meantime. And there's one LSERP included for lactation professionals. Go to www.tonguetieexperts.net/milksupply. The link is clickable in the show notes. And as always, you can use coupon code PODCAST15 to save 15% off this and all Tongue Tie Experts courses. Thanks so much. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the top five things that can go wrong in no order of importance. Number one, incomplete release. Now, incomplete release means that you have the procedure, but not enough of the frenum was removed or lasered or cut to allow the tongue to move completely. I see this in experienced providers. I see this in providers who don't understand the function of the tongue and the musculature of the tongue, and who don't consider that this is a functional release. So we want to be able to move the tongue. Taking just the front of an anterior tongue tie is included in here. What else could we include? Oh, not considering a lip tie, right? So not all babies who need a tongue tie release need a lip tie release, but a lot of them do. And often I see the tongue tie release not being enough and the lip tie needing to be also dealt with in order to help that infant get a good seal on the breast and make nursing comfortable for the mom and efficient for the baby. So incomplete release is one of the aspects of tongue tie treatment that can go wrong. I see incomplete release sometimes with a scissor release or other than laser release. Let's just say that. Okay, and let me just back up a little bit. And, you know, I hope that none of this is triggering for anyone. I should have said that at the outset, because I am sure there are people who are listening to me speak on this topic who have had less than optimal outcomes and are hearing this and feeling triggered by it. And again, I am sorry. And if you don't want to hear this, please don't listen. This is for education, because if we don't speak about what can go wrong, then we won't be able to educate professionals, parents on what to look for, et cetera. So again, I apologize if this is triggering for anyone. So number one that I stated was incomplete release. Number two is botched procedure. And I don't know how else to categorize it other than botched procedure, meaning it's either done incorrectly, in the wrong place, at the wrong angle, too deeply, affecting nerves, affecting blood supply. I've seen some horror stories, and I have to be completely honest. Again, full disclosure, we're being honest today. There are times in the wrong hands with the wrong tools that this can happen. There was recently something posted in one of the Facebook groups of what looked like somebody had no idea what they were doing under this poor baby's tongue. So if you don't know what you're doing, please don't release a tongue tie. Don't experiment. Don't use a laser that you have in your office to do other dental work to do this procedure. Get trained. Understand the settings. Understand how the laser works. Please know the anatomy. Don't release it if you're not 100% sure that you can do an amazing procedure. Get lots and lots and lots of training, and then get more training. And then get more training. A botched procedure, scarring, scar tissue, bleeding, all of these are possible. Now, again, I don't want to scare anyone. This is rare. This is rare. But this is why we pick providers that have experience and that other parents and other professionals recommend. I'm going to talk a little bit right now about the controversy about tongue tie procedures and that article that was very critical of lactation consultants and dentists having referral relationships. Well, we have referral relationships. All medical providers have referral relationships, but it's particularly important here because the lactation consultant can refer you to someone who they know is good at doing this particular procedure, right? So this has nothing to do with getting kickbacks or getting rewards for it or anything like that. If I know that Dr. A has good results and his frenotomies are never botched and his babies get good results, that's who I'm going to tell my patients to go to, right? So be very careful when you select a provider. And in my show notes, I have a link that will bring you to a freebie about how to select a provider for procedure. So you can check that out. Okay, I digress. So that was only two, right? The first was incomplete release. The second was botched procedure. The third is ignoring or not recognizing and addressing underlying issues in the infant and or the mom that might be affecting breastfeeding. So maybe the baby has a tongue tie, but maybe there's other things going on. So maybe the baby needs other therapies prior to the tongue tie release. Maybe there's something more than a tongue tie. For example, I had a baby in my care who was referred from the pediatrician to get tongue tie release. This poor baby had a cleft palate and nobody had assessed that. So we don't want to just go in and release the tie without thinking about what else is going on. But on a less dramatic example is torticollis in the neck. I have a great episode. If you want to look back on my episodes by Kathy Watson Jenna, Kathy Watson Jenna is always talking about making sure that we're treating the torticollis prior to treating the tongue tie, or that is part of treating the tongue tie. So torticollis means difficulty turning the neck completely from one side to the other. So, or difficulty turning to one side is torticollis. And if a baby has torticollis, that can bring the tongue restriction back. That could pull the tongue back. It can make it seem like there's a tongue tie. And if we don't treat the torticollis or address the torticollis, we might be releasing a tongue frenum that does not need to be released. So we want to be really careful. So what would happen then? Why is this a bad outcome? It's a bad outcome because things don't get better. Yeah. So number three is not recognizing and addressing underlying issues in infant and or mom. And for mom, it would be milk supply issues, learning needs, etc. And I'll go more into that in the next one, which is number four is not being sure that the tongue tie is causing the problem. So this might be priority number one for me. If I see a visible tongue tie, I want to be able to fix it, yes. But I also want to be sure that that tongue tie is the problem for this baby or mom. So for example, if someone sees a visible tongue tie, you know, all those groups that let you take a picture of your baby and put it in and say, does this look like my baby has a tongue tie? Maybe the baby has a tongue tie. But if that baby doesn't get a functional assessment, right? If that dyad isn't evaluated completely, we don't know for sure if it's the tongue tie causing the problem or something else. Now, what other things could be causing a problem? Number one that I see is lack of milk supply or low milk supply. If a baby has a tongue tie and the mother does not have a good milk supply, the baby will not be able to feed efficiently. So if the problem is milk supply and the baby's tongue tie gets released, that's not going to help the parent's milk supply, right? So this is going to be no good result because nothing got better because mom still doesn't have milk. So we need to address the whole system and be sure that it's the tongue tie causing the problem. There are some babies that look like they have a restricted frenum, but it's not really restricted. It just looks it. Function is great. Everything happens beautifully. Mom has no pain. Baby can transfer milk. So we want to make sure that it's the tongue tie causing the problem. The other thing with that is education. So I've seen babies who, or I've seen, you know, couplets, mom and baby come to me in the office and this mother has no idea how to hold her baby for breastfeeding. So she's been doing positions that are making it very difficult for the baby to get milk, very difficult for the baby to move their tongue, to move their neck, to move anything in the proper ways to extract milk from the breast. And when we adjust things a little bit, everything is fine. Everything is good. There are no more symptoms. Just by changing the position and hold and the way the baby comes to the breast and explaining things to the mom. So lack of education is definitely a problem. So there might be a tongue tie there, or it looks like it's a tongue tie, but that might not be what's causing that breastfeeding problem if the real breastfeeding problem is no one has educated the mom on how to breastfeed. So that's number four. So let me go through. So number one, I said incomplete release, which includes skipping the lip tie. Number two is botched procedure. Number three was not recognizing and addressing underlying issues. And number four was not being sure that the tongue tie is causing the problem. And number five is probably, it's not the most common, but it is the most upsetting. And that is feeding aversion. Feeding aversion means that after the tongue tie release, the infant refuses to feed. Now, a couple of things about feeding aversion. Feeding aversion doesn't mean that the baby doesn't want to feed that night, because a lot of babies don't want to feed that night. And with the proper support and education, parents can get through that first, sometimes hard night with the baby post-release. But feeding aversion means that that baby never goes back to breast. And now that baby is having difficulty with a bottle. This is rare. And I've never seen feeding aversion in my practice since maybe very early on, probably maybe the first year I had my private practice, I did see a baby who was having feeding aversion, but the baby didn't come to me before the procedure. I saw the baby with already having the feeding aversion, and we did get that baby back to feeding. But no one following my protocols, going to the providers that I recommend, using proper analgesia and care and preparing ahead of time, I've never seen, knock on wood, a feeding aversion. It also has to do with selecting and not getting some of the other aspects right before can cause feeding aversions, because sometimes the tongue can't move properly for other reasons other than the tongue tie, other than the frenum being restricted, right? So there can be other oral muscular problems, weaknesses, tightness, syndromes. There are other reasons that a baby can't feed. And those babies can have a fragile experience and not take a lot to now not feed at all. Other times this could happen is if an infant is already having so much trouble feeding, taking in enough, that they are already on the verge of failure to thrive or not gaining appropriately, and they just don't have the energy to get through this procedure. So again, you want to make sure that the baby is ready for the procedure, that the procedure is being done for the right reason. You want to make sure that the parents are prepared. You want to make sure you're going to the right provider. So many things to do to prevent feeding aversion, this rare, rare, but horrible result. And those are the stories that will scare parents away from getting good treatment. And we want to prevent those situations as much as possible. Again, you know, I felt it was very, very, very important to discuss what can go wrong in order to prevent it. We want to be sure that we're doing the right thing for the babies in our care. We want to make sure that we have gotten the best education, that we know the most up-to-date and evidence-based ways of assessing, of referring, of preparation, of aftercare, right? We want to be doing the best for anyone that comes to us. And if you're a parent listening to me today, there are many ways to know that you're getting the right care. And a lot of those ways comes from asking other people, especially if you've had family or friends who've had their babies treated, you want to talk to them about their experiences. Lactation consultants who have training in this field will know who is the best person to treat you and how to know when it's time for procedure. My entire platform of Tongue Tie Experts is based on preventing all of these things by education, and by education of parents and education of professionals. I have numerous resources, most of them free, inside our platform. So if you're listening to the podcast today, you can go to the show notes and there's a list. You can click on the list of other ways to connect with Lisa, and it's there. And there's all how to select a provider, how to prepare for frenotomy, signs and symptoms, other things. There's also my paid parents course if you are interested in that. The link is there too. Get educated. Don't rush into this. You can never undo this. You can go and do it. So don't rush. I had an episode recently. Is tongue tie frenotomy or tongue tie procedure considered an emergency? Please listen to that. It's not usually an emergency. I won't say never. I'll say not usually. All right. So I hope everyone has found this helpful today. Thank you for listening. please share this episode with a friend if you feel that it's helpful, and hope to see you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. Check out the show notes for useful links about the topics we discussed and for ways to follow us on social media. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. And if you enjoyed listening, we'd love it if you'd rate, review, and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.